Greetings, a-holes, and welcome to another edition of Objection, the worldwide leader in contrarian a-holery, brought to you by DVD Verdict and a generous grant from the Old White Man Cabal. My name is Judge Dan Mancini, and with me is Judge David Johnson.
Hello.
And, go ahead. What were you going to
say? No, I was just going to say the Old White Man Cabal. I did receive a correspondence from them delivered by Jaguar, as always. You know,
excellent. Yes. Yeah,
not a car, but an actual Jaguar.
Yes.
Bounding up to me and delivered correspondence, and so far they are pleased with what we've been doing with the grant money. So I just thought our listeners should know that, and our listeners should be thanked.
Yeah, and the day that you know our headless bodies are pulled from a river somewhere is the day that you know that they were not pleased with the way that we are using the grant money.
Yes.
Because they don't mess around when it comes to these grants. So I would say, you know, last week's show is going to be tough to top. That was one for the ages, I think. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Remind me again what we talked about.
Psycho Kickboxer.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Now, I should say that the only way it can be topped, we do have a message out through our LinkedIn profile, Mike Staley's LinkedIn profile, to Curtis Bush. We did track him down on LinkedIn. So,
yes.
If for some reason he agrees to join the podcast and come on board, that'd be the only way that could be topped, you know?
Yes.
And the only way that topped is if we got him and Kurt Thomas together.
Yeah. And whoever that guy is, Joshua.
That's right, Joshua. Yeah, and the ceiling, the absolute ceiling of our podcasting career would be if Danny Glover joined us the whole half hour in character as Harrigan.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that the top of my head would explode.
It was seen from scanners. Absolutely.
I would just be like, kill me. Kill me now because it can't get any better than this. You know, birth of children, children's weddings. No, I've done a podcast with Danny Glover as Harrigan. That's it. It's all over. It's all downhill from here. So this week... this is a movie that it's at a 49 rating at Rotten Tomatoes, so it wasn't despised,
right,
by any degree. But there does seem to be a general dislike of it, or even I was looking at Rotten Tomatoes, and even some of the positive reviews are sort of dismissive of it.
Yeah, I mean, and when I first saw the trailer for this last year, I was really excited, and then the lukewarm reviews, the really kind of ambivalent replies from the fanboy community. It was, I don't know, it kind of dissuaded me. So I recently watched it this afternoon, this movie we're about to talk about. So,
excellent. Yeah, so of course we swing in, as we always do, to defend Tron Legacy.
Yes, Tron Legacy. That is the movie we will be discussing. I know that you, I'm going to be interested to hear what your take is, actually, because I did enjoy it.
Yeah.
And,
did you have sort of a lukewarm or, it's okay, but, you know.
Okay, I guess then I'll start, and you'll probably be able to make a more persuasive, eloquent case. So my expectations were relatively low, and it took a while to hook me in, even when, and there'll be spoilers here, obviously, but even when our hero, Sam, gets sucked into the grid, and he's all of a sudden thrust in the games and all the action hits, I was still kind of, okay, the effects are awesome, but... I ended up really kind of getting into it towards the end. I'm not sure what – it just felt – the atmosphere just worked for me and it carried me along. And this whole idea of Clue invading the world, I don't know how that works logistically, but I was willing to go along with it,
So
the atmosphere really won me over. I mean there's – I wish I could have seen more of the grid like as a breathing organic world. Well, I guess it's not organic. It's the opposite of organic, but – more of as a world. I mean, we saw a few city blocks, and we saw that Daft Punk nightclub,
Yeah.
And then after that, it was like either in Flynn's Mountain Resort, or they were on the light subway to the portal or something. So, it would have been cool to see some more, just what the grid looked like, as a metropolis maybe. I would like that.
It would have been cool if they had like an 8-bit ghetto.
Yes, that's right. Like the River City Ransom guys run around there. I think for me, it's less of like stuff it did wrong and just a few missed opportunities, like stuff I would like to see. Like, I thought there's always great potential when you have a father-son relationship that's fractured and you could kind of redeem it. That's always a very powerful motif in movies. And it worked I think it worked enough in this one, but whether it was, Garrett Hedlund, who was just a little too, maybe monotone here, or maybe his character just wasn't super, Sam was just kind of okay. He didn't seem, that compelling a character.
Right.
Especially compared to Jeff Bridges, who seemed to have a little more fun with Flynn and with Clue, for that matter. So I think there was a missed opportunity there. It would have been cool to see that. Obviously, some of the Tron stuff was hinted at and kind of cool. I thought Tron's turnaround, his kind of his realization, whatever, could have been maybe pumped up a little more for effect.
Yeah.
It was kind of sudden, and then really.
They really could have. They should have sprung the cash to do a rendering of Bruce Boxleitner,
right?
They did. They could have shown him at least once without the helmet on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The movie's named after him, for crying out loud. And he's such a badass. I would love to see him be a badass against Clue's forces. So just those missed opportunities, they're not TKOs, but it's like, oh man, it would have been so cool to see that, because by then I was into the story and I was into the atmosphere. So I was pulling for the movie. So I think it was just disappointing in that respect, but there's a few, you kind of knew some stuff was being telegraphed. You knew what Flynn's fate was going to be because he told you about it.
They kind of set it up.
So there's a few of those things, but overall, I thought the effects were cool. It was definitely pure eye candy, AV porn all the way.
It is, and on Blu-ray, man, oh man.
Yeah, just really beautiful to look at, great to listen to. Had some really cool moments. I really like the jet chase scene at the end.
Yeah,
that was legitimately exciting. The light cycle chase, that was pretty cool too. I don't know how Sam learned how to throw his disc so well and whatnot, but I was with it. So
yeah, the implications seem like he knew from playing video games, but it's like, how does that translate?
That's right.
Does that mean like if I ended up in the world of Uncharted, I could actually scale walls?
Yes,
and swing on vines and stuff.
You should try it. You should single handedly take down 30 mercenaries.
Yes. Yeah.
You should definitely try it. But overall, I did like it, and I rented it, so I liked it enough that I'd probably buy it on Blu-ray at a good price or at a previewed price or something. So,
all right.
Yeah, so that's where I am, and I would actually be interested. I know they talked about sequels being greenlit, so.
Yeah, and there's definitely that teaser at the end where Tron turns from red to blue.
Right. That's right.
That he's back to fighting for the users again.
Right. Again, but if you hadn't seen the first Tron, would you be lost in this movie?
I don't know. I think it wouldn't resonate as much. There would definitely be some things that would be complete head scratchers in terms of why would they do? Are they stupid to do things this way? Like the whole being scanned into the computer. I'm glad they kept that.
Yeah.
Because, that's an essential part of the original Tron. But in today's world where we all sort of live a virtual existence as well as our normal, analog real-life existence, we're used to having avatars on computers and things like that. And the idea that you have to actually be physically scanned in there makes no sense. But it's part of Tron.
That's right.
And that was my, this is one of those movies where I came out of it kind of scratching my head at a lot of the criticism, because it seemed like, number one, people were holding up the original Tron as some kind of science fiction masterpiece.
And I totally agree with you on that, because you're right. It's rose-colored glasses.
Right. And to me, a lot of the complaints about it were areas where the movie was trying to be faithful to the world of the original film. So it's sort of like, well, why complain about it? Or people wanted more, more technological depth and for it to make more logical sense on a technological level. But the original Tron doesn't do that. It sort of sets up this world and lets you, you know, it's a little more Alice in Wonderland.
It's definitely more fantasy.
Technological.
It's not hard sci-fi. This is, you know, this is your sci-fi, your fantasy sci-fi, like Star Wars or something.
And I thought it meshed up really well with the original Tron. I mean, I thought that the look of it was great because to me it's like the way that the original Tron looks, and I just saw it on Blu-ray a couple days ago for the first time in a long time. I still think it looks great. It looks, you know, it looks like a period piece. It looks like something that it was made and is set in the early 80s.
Right.
But, I mean, it still looks completely unique.
Right.
You know, there's just not really any other movie other than maybe Tron Legacy that looks like Tron. And Legacy, to me, looked like what that world would look like if it had evolved into the 21st century. You know, with more sort of solid substance to things, more three-dimensionality, the way that video games have evolved the same way. I still, you know, people talk about all the logical leaps. To me, the big logical leap is where's the hardware for the grid? And this is the kind of question that's just kind of dumb to ask, but as long as people are going to go down this path, where is the hardware? Is it, you know, in a server farm at NCOM? Then maybe I can understand. But if it's in his little office, his dusty office, how is there the hardware infrastructure for them to even build up that world into, you know, what it is when Sam gets there? But putting that aside, because it always drives me crazy when people ask those kind of questions of a movie.
Well, I mean, you
it's
could
supposed
ask
to be fun.
Yeah, you could ask those questions. Like, you know, the other question I had was when Sam first got picked up and brought over and disseminated to the games. You know, he was with that guy. He was like, not the games, remember?
He
threw himself off the cliff and died. And really, the games didn't seem that terrible to me. You know? Right?
I mean, what's the difference?
I mean, if you die, you die. But at least you have a shot, right?
Right. So you're going to get shattered into small pieces of glass either way.
That's right. So, yeah.
But the other thing is, you know, a lot of people, I heard complaints about, you know, the original Tron had the master control program who was the villain, and it was a very clear cut thing, and having Clue as the villain was less satisfying. But I really like Clue as the villain because he's set up, for those who haven't seen Tron or haven't seen it in a long time, Clue in the original Tron isn't in it very long. He's in it at the very beginning of the movie, and then he gets destroyed. And so the Clue in Tron Legacy is
a new version,
like a 2.0. Right. But it's kind of set up in Tron that, and they didn't really have the terminology for it in 82 when it was made. But I mean, he's essentially a computer virus, and he's essentially malicious, and being introduced into NCOM's intranet, I guess, or their computer system, to locate information and steal it, Kevin Flynn describes him as relentless and unstoppable and stuff. So I kind of like the twist that what Flynn invented to be good qualities turned on him eventually. And, you know, it wasn't that Clue was evil. It's that he was doing what Flynn designed him to do, which was to be relentless and unstoppable.
And
creating this perfect system.
Yeah, that's what it was. Even more, it was like kind of, you know, that you're right. I mean, despite some of the cliches and some of the stuff you knew it was coming and kind of the so-so, you know, some of the writing was so-so, especially Sam's dialogue. But there was some – you're right. They were definitely scratching at something interesting with that Clue-Flynn dynamic, especially at the end when Flynn is saying how, you know, he didn't know what perfection was when he created him. So Clue wouldn't know anyway, you know. Right. And obviously it was, you know, it was his son, it was family, and, you know, thankfully I don't think they got right out and kind of set it in an exposition, cheapy dialogue way, but that conversation was pretty cool, I thought, and it was scratching at something deeper.
Right, yeah, I mean, they did sort of inject into the movie this kind of spiritual layer of things, which, you know, either people like or they don't, I guess. But you know, and that's the other thing is people sort of complaining about the whole concept of the isomorphs. These, you know, computer programs who just sort of sprang into existence and stuff, and nobody wrote them. But again, you know, I think that's getting into it's one of those things where the movie, if the movie is too explicit about how all this works, then it wouldn't be a Tron movie because it still needs to be fantasy. But I think it does kind of, in the way that Tron resonated with where technology was and presented computers in a kind of fantasy way that did sort of, it didn't, I guess it made you think about computers, but it was more about feeling the general sense of the technology rather than explaining it in a scientific way. And, you know, people have to remember that in 1982, very few people had computers. And there was no sense at that time that the world would be dominated by computers in, you know, less than 20 years. And that everybody everywhere would have PCs and smartphones and, you know, I mean, there was none of that. But the isomorph thing, you know, I read it as a kind of sort of like a meditation, a similar thing, not an overly intellectualized thing, but a kind of meditation on artificial intelligence and where it is now and how it's, you know, getting to a point where the quest for it, what they're recognizing is it can't all be pre-planned, that there has to be an evolutionary component to it, that it, you know, that artificial intelligence will surprise us, in what it does. So, you know, that to me worked. And that the concept of isomorphism is in mathematics and biology and sociology and all the, and what it's suggesting is that there is a parallel between, or an analogy between, these computer programs and human beings, and that she's sort of the bridge that can come out of that computer world and be here, which fits into the Tron thing, even though, again, going in and into and out of the computer world physically makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
At least not to me, but it's still fun. And there's light cycles.
Yeah. Let's
freaking frisbee things.
Yeah. Let's talk about the action. What did you think about the action sequences? Because that's something I've heard from friends of mine who've seen it, that it wasn't very exciting. The movie itself wasn't very exciting, you know.
I mean, there are stretches where there's not a lot of action, but I really liked, and I realized too that, you know, one of the ways that the movie gets bagged on is that it, in terms of its structure, it's almost kind of a remake and a sequel at the same time, that it follows the same kind of path as Tron, and there's a lot of, you know, non-action happening in the original Tron too, but I, you know, like the light cycle thing, very different vibe than the original or look than the original film. But I think I was 11 when I saw the original, and even though it looks different in Legacy, it was the same kind of experience watching it, I thought, where, you know, everything seemed really fast and fluid and, you know, very cool and different looking. And that's what it was like watching the light cycles in the original Tron. I mean, I remember at the time it seemed, and they look a little rickety now, because it's all just sort of straight lines and stuff. But at the time it really looked fast, like frantically fast.
And we've never seen anything like that.
Right, right. And so almost the breaks in the action were like a nice breather where you could kind of settle in again and get ready for the next bout of action. And I don't know, I just like the look of Legacy so much that the action that's there, I think, is fantastic. And I was not bothered by the periods where things slowed down. I don't know, did you find sections of the film dull? Or
you know, probably not. I think, yeah, you know, nothing bored me, really, because I was into the mythology enough, and I had enough questions and that I wanted answered, that I was tuned in pretty well. Again, it was, and I really, like I said, I enjoyed the, you know, the rocket chase at the end was really cool. Wish we'd seen more Tron badassery at the end. That'd been great. But,
yeah.
the light cycle stuff was good. The stuff in the bar, the Daft Punk bar, that's all I'll refer to it, didn't quite, I don't know, that was kind of clumsily. It seemed like it was put in there to be, oh, we need to have a little bit of action here, you know? And it just, yeah. It didn't just, that's what it felt like to me. It's like, oh, the producer said we need to get some action in here. So you had some kind of awkward disc fighting, and then Flynn came in. Kind of, and used his magic powers, and then everyone got out. So, that was more of a, that was more plot, and so that actually didn't really resonate. So, again, nothing was bored, but again, it was just missed opportunities. Like, maybe if they could have spent some more time on that, you could have had maybe a pretty cool fight sequence or action sequence in that bar. That would have been something nice.
Yeah, yeah. Michael Sheen in that movie kind of bugged me. To me, he was a little bit off. His performance, like he wasn't sinister enough or something.
Was he Zeus, the bartender?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was tough for me to even see the point of his character, really. I mean, I guess he dumped out a little exposition, but you're right. The thing I liked about Tron was Tron Legacy. It managed to be kind of techno and cool and all that without being like a parody of itself or too ridiculous, and that is when probably it got into that. It was like it got a little too cool for school there, yeah. With them playing his cane and chomping on dialogue or whatever, and
yeah, I mean he was chewing scenery a little much.
Right.
I'll say this, my opinion of the film is definitely colored by how much I kind of geeked out over it.
Sure.
Because like I said, I was like 11 when I originally saw it. So seeing like the facade of Flynn's video arcade and seeing just the upright Tron video game, which I can guarantee in the early 80s, I probably pumped quarters into that thing equaling the GDP of a small country, I'm sure. Because that was like state of the art at the time. And I love that game. So just seeing that was like, oh, this is awesome. And then, some of the other touches that reflected back on the original film, which I hadn't seen in a long time, but, came back to me pretty quickly, were awesome. And I got to say that Bridges, I loved his performance because it was just great, in a movie like that that's so slick and sleek and gorgeous looking and everything, hearing a guy saying stuff like, delivering lines like, "We got to split, man." And, there's that like hippie, a little bit of hippie flavor to that performance, which is there in the original movie too, that, I don't know, gave it kind of a cool vibe, I thought.
Yeah, maybe, I did watch Tron. I don't think I was as much of a Tron guy growing up. I don't think it had that much of an effect on me as it had on you. Though I did watch it and enjoy it and thought it was pretty cool. But I think for me, I like this movie because, again, I'll play the lower expectations card. But I really think that it was entertaining throughout. I thought it was entertaining. It could have been really cool with just some tweaks here and there, some additions, just some character modifications, some stuff. Like Olivia Wilde's character could have been. I mean, they were kind of going for a wide-eyed idealist type, and that didn't really come through. But little tweaks here and there, maybe in the sequel we get, and I would just, again, I would have loved to see Tron unleashed, just seen him unleashed. Like, I was hoping he would pop up at the very end and level someone, fact, I scrolled, I fast-forwarded through all the end credits just seeing if there was a little Easter egg at the end of the credits, maybe like rises through the water or does something cool, that was... Yeah, I think Tron kind of got the shaft through.
Yeah, and Box Lightning. I mean, come on. If you're going to do the young face, and that was one of the worst effects in the movie, was the young.
Yeah.
It was rubbery, for sure.
It was
Worked okay for Clue, but they should have kept those early scenes where it's supposed to be Kevin Flynn in the late 80s. They should have really, kept it kind of to...
it in the
shots
darkness.
Of the back of his head.
Absolutely,
and sort of partial profiles where it's in shadows and stuff where you can't can't see him as well.
Man, or use what do they use? Like tabs? Don't they use tabs to de-age people sometimes? Like on Fringe, they use tabs for a flashback episode where they just like pulled back the wrinkles of some, you know, John Noble and stuff, and it looked okay. You know?
Yeah.
That first scene looked a little like, "Ee, what's wrong with this guy?"
Yeah, and they could have brought back Cindy Morgan too.
Oh,
I know. You know, I'm assuming she's supposed to be Sam's mother. And she was dead. I don't know for sure, but, you know. Come on, she was in Caddyshack, too. They could have brought her back for, you know, just like a little cameo or something. But at least they got Box Lightner in there, because I don't know the last time I've seen him in anything. And, you know, and Bridges and...
Yeah, definitely.
Good times.
I agree.
It has, you know, the other thing I'll say is this. The thing about Tron was always that there's just a weird atmosphere to that movie. Tron is just a strange movie.
Right.
Unlike anything else. And to me, Legacy had a lot of that. It's just a weird movie on a certain level. And that's okay because it's a Tron movie, and Tron movies should be weird. And a little, you know, it's one of those things where, yeah, there's stuff that you can think about, but you can't think too much about it because, again, it's people getting scanned into a computer and writing on light cycles and stuff. So as long as there's light cycles and disks, and there could have been more tanks, I'll say that, then I'm pretty much happy. Anything else we didn't cover? I mean,
I don't think so. That's pretty good. I did pretty well there.
Yeah. So, if you hated Tron Legacy, rethink it. Maybe check it out again. Great looking Blu-ray. Great sounding Blu-ray.
Yeah.
I do like the Daft Punk music for it.
So do I. I liked it a lot, actually. I thought it fit really nice. Yeah. In fact, I think I would attribute a lot of my engagement to the atmosphere to that soundtrack. I think the score really. Yeah, it drew me in to the weirdness of the, you know, the universe.
Yeah, I kind of got the sense that its general atmosphere is borrowed a little bit from, you know, Christopher Nolan's many films. Who does his scores? Hans Zimmer?
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah. But that kind of minimalist, I don't know, sound to it, you know, more orchestral. A little bit more orchestral in Nolan's films, but still the same. It kind of reminded me a little bit of the Inception score, except with more techno.
Yeah, I could say that.
But and you know, yeah, Tron is not as thoughtful and, you know, watertight a film as Inception, but that's okay. It is what it is. It's got the light cycles and the action and, you know, and the weirdness. So I guess that covers it. Like we say, if you hated the film, check it out again. Definitely check it out on Blu-ray because that is a showcase disc if ever there was one. And I don't know. Anything else to say?
Thanks. 10 points easy.